WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So is the internet the first social environment created for the asocial individual? That's the argument that writer and culture critic Lee Siegel makes. His feelings about the internet can perhaps be summed up best by the title of his book, Against the Machine, Being Human in the Age of the Electronic Media, which incidentally was published 3 months ago, both in hardcover and in Kindle format, and by the fact that he's the inventor of the term blogofascism. Tomorrow night at the New York Public Library, he'll be debating some of the ideas that he advances in his book with writer Nicholson Baker, who is also with us today and is also the author of a book called Human Smoke, The Beginnings of World War II, The End of Civilization. So Lee Siegel and Nicholson Baker, welcome to WNYC.
Pleasure to be here.
Lee, let me start with you. Who are you? How did you come to this position? What about the internet and your life experience has left you so skeptical, even cynical?
Well, I've been writing for the web for some years. I started off writing for Newsweek.com. I wrote something for them, and then I was writing for Slate, was the art critic for Slate. And I discovered as I was writing that there was a kind of terrible resentment on the web, that the promises of democracy and participatory culture had in fact unleashed some of the worst forces of democracy, anti-democratic forces. People were coming onto websites and from behind aliases, just hurling the worst kind of virulence and even libel. And then I began to look more deeply into it, and I discovered that the web as a whole was really dehumanizing in the sense that it was driven by the bottom line, by commerce. And in fact, there was a front page article in the New York Times last week, which illustrates this point. It was about how bloggers are under such pressure to blog 24/7 that some of them are actually dropping dead at their keyboards. And in my book, I talk about how the web is really turning all our leisure time into work.
Who has dropped dead at their computers?
There were two prominent bloggers. I've forgotten their names, alas. But they died, alas, because they were blogging so heavily. And
so these are two very different issues, right? People who choose to overwork because this is the format that they've created for themselves, and these blogo-fascist vandals who are not the bloggers themselves, but people posting comments and stuff like that. I'm sure Nicholson Baker is busting to get in, but I want to take you one step further, because Wikipedia seems to epitomize for you everything that's wrong with the internet. In full disclosure, I love Wikipedia. But in your words, it's created and edited by anonymous people who are free to misrepresent historical facts and malign living people. Why?
Well, I don't know why you love Wikipedia. That sounds to me like an abusive relationship. Because Wikipedia, it's shifting mounds of trivia and gossip and, in some cases, slander. Anyone is allowed to put anything onto an article. Sometimes it's taken off immediately if it's false information. Sometimes it stays on for a long time. And sometimes information that's not even quite false, but just tendentious, cannot be removed. I don't understand.
I don't want to get in the middle of it, but I'll say that for me, I find Wikipedia to be an incredible resource of all kinds of information that you can't get anywhere else, certainly not quickly. And then you have to fact check things that you're going to use, certainly in a journalistic concept context. But Nicholson Baker, I'll bring you in on this, because you wrote about Wikipedia for the New York Review of Books, And whereas Lee sees it as a hotbed of misinformation, you see it as a shrine to altruism.
Well, I think it is. It is a kind of miracle of cooperative activity. There are dangers, and there are plenty of ways that people can be misled by a particular article, but I think that it just happens to be the greatest encyclopedia ever made, and that the fact that it was made through this strange collaboration between people who are uncredentialed, but who are just hobbyists and amateurs, and people who are maybe extremely credentialed but want to have an anonymous voice, I think is one of the great strengths of it. And it's also fun and funny. I mean, that's the thing about Wikipedia, is behind these dry articles are all kinds of simmering struggles. And I think that's why people are drawn to contributing to it.
And you go further. You write that Wikipedia needs its vandals. Why would that be?
Well, because otherwise it's just a great encyclopedia. And, I think that the excitement is that someone looks at an article and says, this is full of trivia, it's nonsense, I want to delete it, and proposes it for deletion. Then somebody like me looks at it and says, my God, this is the author of Take a Nap, Save Your Life. This woman is actually done something important in the world, and I would like to know about her, and I want to save her. And then so then it becomes a kind of struggle over a piece of knowledge. And so the piece of knowledge is not flat anymore. It's in active play. And I think the playfulness of Wikipedia is the reason why it's so rich now, which is not to say that Lee Siegel's book, by laying out a lot of the risks and the bad stories that are absolutely true about electronic life, isn't a very useful thing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you could look at our NAP strategies page for more on what you were just talking about. But the it's almost like, I don't know if maybe this conversation and the debate you're going to have at the library tomorrow says more about the two of you than it does about the web in an objective sense. Because Nicholson, it sounds like, where you actually, Lee, this is for you, where Nicholson sees wonderful humanity, you see an electronic mob, to refer to the subtitle of your book. Is this possible?
Well, that's exactly right, but I don't think that this is purely a subjective projection on both our parts. I think these are two legitimate points of view about the web. My point of view is not really aired very often. Most newspapers and magazines are terrified of taking on the web because they see their future as lying in the web. And sure, in 10 years, everything will probably be online. That's why I think it's time that we start thinking about the Internet and what it's doing to us.
And you actually got, so frustrated. Tell me why you did this, why you went on as what they call a sock puppet, right, which means that you posted anonymously in defense of yourself after people on some web page were attacking you. What was that about?
Well, that was my blog at the New Republic magazine, where I was a senior editor and where I had been on the masthead for 10 years. I had a blog, and people were weighing in and calling me names that I cannot repeat on the air. I became identified with one particular part of the human body, and this was repeated over and over again.
I'm guessing it's not your ear.
You have to look behind you. And at one point, someone wrote in accusing me of being a pedophile. And throughout this time, I had been asking the editors to delete these posts or edit them, which is what every newspaper, magazine, and website does. Some of the so-called courageous bloggers like Andrew Sullivan don't even allow comments on their blogs. And they simply refused to do it. The magazine needed it as a commercial strategy. I wasn't about to quit and give up my salary and benefits. So after railing against what I called thuggish anonymity under my own name, and after sometimes going on the bloggers' threads, the respondents' threads, and responding under my own name, I threw up my hands and said, well, I'm just going to roll down in the mud with them and give them a taste of their own medicine. And I called myself Sprezzatura, which is Italian for a deceptive simplicity. Next time I'm going to call myself Spaghetti Puttanesca. and it was a big furor.
How did you get caught?
I think someone, they did an investigation at the New Republic. They're very good at that. As they honed their skills on Stephen Glass.
Nicholson, is this story a cautionary? This isn't just, you know, oh, Lee did a bad thing. Is this a cautionary tale?
Well, I don't want to pronounce on Lee's making up an identity for himself. I mean, when you're in the middle of one of those soul-destroying struggles, you want friends, you want allies, and I think that everybody practically is given into the temptation.
But could I just clarify one thing? Everyone saw this as some sort, as you said, as a soul struggle. That's ridiculous. I was a very comfortable senior editor with book contracts and writing for other magazines, a very successful career as a journalist. I was, on principle, reacting against these people. It was nothing emotional about it. I wrote playfully. At one point, Spritzer Torah came on and said, Lee Siegel is being burned in effigy in front of the Pakistani embassy. I was being mischievous, though I was certainly angry, but I my identity certainly wasn't threatened, and I was using anonymity to protest this silly convention of anonymity.
So, Nicholson, you said before that there are some very useful things in Lee's book. Let me see if there's any common ground between you, or I suspect there is, and I'd like to kind of know where. How do you take, because all media organizations deal with some of this, so how do you, what do we do as a matter of policy by those who actually have websites to see that that it is wonderful humanity where altruism is rewarded, blah, 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 and it isn't kind of blogo fascism? Or is there nothing we could do and it's just up to the wisdom of the crowds?
Well, I think what we all have done already is we get very good at quickly filtering. We scan through these little piles of words that are at the bottom of some blog entry or some newspaper article online, and we get very good at picking out clues. Who actually knows how to put something together in a sinewy way and has something funny to say and sounds like a human being, and who is a crank? And we've all had to work that out. And to some extent, I think there has to be more filtering of truly abusive contributions. But I think that the great challenge with any new machine, maybe it's a mass printed newspaper as it was in the 1880s, or maybe it's the radio, or maybe it's the telephone, is that we have to humanize it. So what we do is we think about it, we fret about it. There are many worried moments, things go wrong, and then we figure out that actually, there are ways that allows us to do new things, and we get on with it, and they all layer on top of each other. So I just am not alarmed about it, but I think that the subtitle of his book, "Being Human in the Age of the Electronic Mob," is exactly what we're up to, what's happening right now.
By the way, somebody posts that Slate.com debunked the bloggers who died at their computer story, and includes a link. I don't have time to go read it right now, but
so they're actually alive.
Or didn't die as a result of blogging too much.
Leave it to Slate.
That drew some response. What does that mean? You used to work for Slate, right?
Yes. No. I admire Slate, but they do like to take the cutesy angle on things. So maybe they died at their computers from an overdose of caffeine, so it really wasn't blogging. You know, Brian, you used the term wisdom of crowds, which of course is the title of a popular book. And I think there needs to be a movement against this wisdom of crowds business, against the idea that what they used to call the outer-directed personality is now the most respectable personality. You have these books, Wisdom of Crowds, Everything That's Bad is Good for You. You know, Nick, you might appreciate this. I think if the Nazis had won the war, those books would be on their bestseller lists. You know, Everything is Bad, it's good for you, on Himmler's night table. We have to start moving away from a marketing ethos, which has been purveyed by the guy who wrote Wisdom of Crowds, or Wiki, and Malcolm Gladwell.
Well,
that's what drives the internet.
Well, you say it's a marketing ethos, but I can tell you that the people posting right now on our comments page at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, are the most vociferous mercilessly against you are the ones who are kind of grassroots, netroots democracy activists who would probably be the most skeptical of marketing of anybody in our listening audience.
Well, and then I consider these voices to be individual voices. Therefore, there is not a wisdom in crowds. There is a wisdom in the individual who decides to express himself in this political context through a group, not through a crowd, and does not pander to popularity.
Nicholson, you want to take on that wisdom of the crowds concept?
Well, I just think it was enormously helpful to me when I was upset about the Iraq War to be able to read people from far away who were also opposed to the war. I mean, I could read Robert Fisk's columns in the Independent. I could go on to Daily Kos, and I think it was a tremendous a non-fascistic use of the internet. On the other hand, I think all three of us would agree that there's a moment around 3:30 in the afternoon, if you've spent all day online, there's a kind of an exhaustion, a drainedness, and you need to go outside and walk around, and there are dangers to spending so much of yourself, pushing so much of yourself through this screen. And so, I mean, just recognizing that is a useful fact, but there are just so many ways in which comments and the breaking up of certain solid masses of opinion with objections and little bits of new information is a helpful thing. So I just can't view it with the kind of dismay that Lee does.
Lee, you mentioned Kos, or actually Nicholson mentioned Kos, but you use Kos as an example of your notion of blogo-fascism, don't you?
Well, this was a year and a half ago when I wrote that. I didn't mean to focus on the liberal blogs. I'd given up on the right-wing blogs. I was just understood in my mind that they were authoritarian. And I had high hopes for Kos, but I saw these threads degenerating into this incredible abusiveness, and as if people went onto this political website as a form of catharsis. And I don't think politics is catharsis. I think it should keep you angry. I think art offers catharsis. Having said that, I do think that Kos became aware of this, and I think his website is much better because of it. And I read it, and I've read some great things on it. But, of course, my book is not just about politics on the web. My book is about the Internet as a whole, from eBay to Internet porn to blogging.
In 20 seconds, Nicholson, where do you hope that the two of you will wind up after you have this conversation for a whole evening at the New York Public Library tomorrow?
We'll go home and Google each other like crazy.
Google yourselves.
I think it's not a debate. I think it's a conversation, and that I'm hopeful we'll tell our own stories of when we finally had to swear off doing XYZ on the Internet and why, and have fun with it.
All right. Writer and culture critic Lee Siegel is the author of Against the Machine, Being Human in the Age of the Electronic Media. It's the basis for the discussion that he and Nicholson Baker will be having at the New York Public Library. Main branch, I presume?
Yes.
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Enter by the Lions. You can get information about it on the Brian Lehrer Show page, WNYC.org.
And Heidi Ulewitz will be there, too.
That's right, a wonderful novelist and essayist. Bring your laptops, but keep them turned off.
Good luck. Will you be streaming it online?
I'll be streaming it online and watching my Wikipedia entry as it changes.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.